our focus today, we will be considering the message found in a portion of the prayer made by the Apostle Paul for the believers in the Ephesian church. Let me read from Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse number 20 of Ephesians 3. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That is a reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, right on to verse number 21. I am particularly drawn at this time to that portion of the 16th verse, which cries out to God for the believer to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Inner strength is absolutely necessary for us believers in Christ if we are going to win in our journey, in our walk of faith with the Master. Inner strength is necessary and indispensable, absolutely needed. And although this inner strength constitutes in part personal resolve, it is not totally that inner strength that keeps us going. It is not all about what you or I can do. Yes, we have a part to play. Our input is part of the equation, but not the whole equation. And this reveals the mystery of living the Christian life in this world today. The exercise calls for our input, but also it calls for God's input. We perform a small part, although that small part is vital and important, but it is God who works in us to will and to do after his own good pleasure. The bulk of the strain is on him. The bulk of the technical operation for our deliverance is on him. So what I'm trying to say is that we do our part and God has to do the greater part. We cooperate with God and we lend him our faith and he dispenses his power. This may be seen as not being important, but it must be evident that the life we now live, we live it by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. Whenever we are observed telling the story of victory, how does that story come across? How shall I say, the star of the story, the star of the show? It is placing the credit where it really and truly belongs. The glory and the credit should go to Jesus. You say, but Pastor, I did this and we did that and I said, It was God who was working in you. It was God who was working behind the scenes. Jesus is on record of telling one man who was the recipient of an outstanding miracle. Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 1 and verse 44, "See that you tell no man." That guy was healed of his condition, and Jesus warned him, "See that you tell no man." Who knows why Jesus may have told him this? Who knows but that the rehearsal of that incident could have cast the spotlight on the healed rather than on the healer. The glory always belongs to God. He will not permit anyone to rob him of that glory. He is the one who gets all the credit, because the credit belongs to him, him alone, not to us. It is not shared, and it will not be shared. It is he who did it. It is he who does it and will continue to do it. Sometimes we look so much to the blessing and we forget the blesser. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." John 15 and 5. "You can do nothing without me." John 15, 5. God in wisdom always offers his strength. We sometimes forget that Moses had laid his hand on young Joshua and blessed him in Deuteronomy 34 and 9 before Joshua heard from God in Joshua chapter 1 and 6. God spoke to this young Joshua and said to him, "Be strong and very courageous, because I, the Lord your God, will be with you whithersoever you go, making your way prosperous and giving you good, great, and grand success." Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Joshua dared not imagine afterward that the success and the achievements that came his way were his own, or were on account of his skills and abilities. He had to publicly acknowledge that the doings, the happenings, the miracles were the doings of the Divine One, God himself, working in Joshua and through him. It was not Joshua himself or by himself. It was God with Joshua working the mighty work. Our strength comes not from us, but from God. Not from our qualifications or even our experience. Our strength comes from God. I overheard two brothers speaking this past week and telling a story of a fable of the massive elephant and a flea that fastened itself to the massive elephant. They came to a rickety bridge, and the elephant put one foot on that bridge, and the bridge began to shake and to wobble. But the elephant, being a determined animal, decided he was going to cross. And he did cross with fear and trembling. And when they got safely, when he got safely to the other side, the little flea crawled to the ear of the elephant in this fable and said to the elephant, "Boy, didn't we really shake that bridge?" End of story. Point is, how much contribution did the flea make to the shaking and the rattling of that bridge? But the flea had the, and was under the impression, and had the sneaky feeling that he contributed a whole lot to the shaking and rattling of that bridge. No one should be left in doubt as to the source of strength and power when God wins a victory by you. Yes, it is God's strength flowing through our members, through our vessels, through our minds, through our being. It is God's strength. He is the source. It is the Lord who gives you the enablement. It is the Lord who gives you the enablement, and He is the one who deserves the glory, who is entitled to the glory. Indeed, you have made a contribution, but how great, how little is your contribution? Have you checked lately who is being glorified when you are narrating the story of your victory, when you're giving your testimony, when you're relating how you managed to miraculously come through a delicate situation? Whenever you are through testifying, who is getting the praise? Is it Jesus or is it you? A line in one of the hymns we sing goes like this: all my ambitions, plans, and wishes at His feet in ashes lay. The song is, I will praise Him. Evy Thornquist, years ago, used to sing, all glory must be to the Lord. No one on earth should give glory to himself, but all the glory must be to the Lord. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are working in partnership with God. He is the senior partner. He is the brains. He is the wisdom. He is the strategist behind the work. It is with His resources we function. It is with His resources we perform and produce. He must get all the glory, because we can do but little or nothing without Him. Therefore, we must strive to be fully controlled, or rather, to be fully infused with His heavenly power. Remember, the arm of flesh always fails us. The arm of flesh is useless in achieving any credit from God. Only what is done for Christ really lasts. Yes. Because we recognize Him as our enabler, and we work and labor for His glory. Yes, if anything is done for the glory of God, it will stand, it will last. Therefore, don't be hesitant in giving God all the praise and glory that belongs to Him. You're strong because He it is that keeps pouring His divine strength into you. He must receive credit. He must be seen and must be known as the one who enabled us to do what we did. We must be very clear on this. In all things, He must have what? The preeminence. It is about him. He must be the one who increases, and I the one who decreases. I decrease so that he might increase. It is a wonderful thing to step back, to step aside, and let Jesus take center stage. I am crucified with Christ, said the apostle. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, in the natural, it would be difficult for some to take second place. But in the natural, it is difficult for some to take second place and put others first. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord won the victory and should be the one to take all the credit. Let us give to him the glory due to his name. He is the real winner, isn't he? The Old Testament judges were victors in the conflicts, but they won through Jehovah's strength. And going forward to the prophets, we hear God saying to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and 18, "Behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes, and against the priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail, for I am with you to deliver you." When Jeremiah would have won these victories, whose glory should be manifested and declared? Was it Jeremiah's? Nay, it would be the Lord's glory, for he's the one who made Jeremiah into iron pillars and brazen walls. God must get the credit. Wisdom dictates that the glory, the credit, belong to the Lord. In fact, the discerning child of God will give that credit and glory to God at all times. It boils down to this: our recognition of God as the source of our life, our strength, our victory, our recognition of him as the giver of all things will cause us to surrender glory to him and to say, "Not I, but you, the Christ of God in me, that wrought this great miracle." This is the lifestyle of the children of God. Abraham in Romans 4:20 staggered not, wavered not, hesitated not, stumbled not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, listen to this, giving glory to God. Even Abraham, the father of the nation, the father of faith, the man of faith, he was giving glory to God. Here in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20, the habit of crediting and honoring God unreservedly for every victory we achieve is a wonderful gift to God himself. Returning to him the praise due to his name, for he is a jealous God, and his glory he would not share with another. Isaiah 42 and verse number 8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not share with another. My glory will I not share with another. That is Isaiah chapter 42 and round about verse number 8. God is our strength, brothers and sisters. He is our deliverer. We are kept by his power. Our needs he faithfully supplies. To whom then are we to offer praise and glory and honor? To ourselves? Yes, we have experience. We have had wisdom that we learned through life. We have strength and we have common sense. And we may be tempted to think that all of those things earned us our position and earned us a place of recognition in this secular world. But I'm saying to you today, without Jesus, you educated, smart, and wise and experienced as you are, you are virtually nothing. So, what are we saying today? Ephesians 3 and 21 says, unto him, that is the Lord, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto God, unto Christ, be glory and honor in the church throughout all ages. How do you want to be known? As a good storyteller, a dramatist, a person who can tell a story that is effective and hair-raising and full of suspense? Or do you want to be known as a person who always gives God the glory so that God and Christ is in the center of your recitation and your pronouncement? That is how it should be. And the Lord can teach us. He can train us. And he can guide us, so that we might so tell our stories that in the end, people around us will praise and glorify his name. That is how his light shines through us, and men see the good work he has done and glorify him who is in heaven. So the power you have and I have to do God's work is a power that we have obtained from God. And the victories achieved through the use of that power and the cooperation with the greater power, that belongs to the Lord. For without him, we can do absolutely nothing. I trust that you have picked up something from this message today, and that it will cause you to become a person who will be glorifying and praising the name of the Lord so loudly that men will not see you, but they will see him.